You're listening to episode 102 of the Tennis Vowels podcast on how to record yourself playing tennis matches.
Welcome to the Tennis Files podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Tennis Files podcast. I'm really excited to have you back on listening to the show. My name is Mehrban Iranshad, and on the Tennis Files podcast, we help you improve your tennis game with interviews of the best tennis experts on the planet, as well as solo episodes. And today is going to be the latter, where I'm actually going to take you step by step in detail and show you how to record yourself playing tennis matches. And it's not just matches, practices as well. And I want to really go into it in a bit of detail and even give you prices and my best option for you that I think is ideal. But before I give you these options and devices and other accessories that you need to use, which really isn't too much, I just want to talk about real quick why you should record your matches. And you might understand already some of these, but it's also always good to hammer them home, even if you already know them, so that it can help you take action. Because I talk to a lot of tennis players, a lot of my friends. I play in leagues mostly, and sometimes tournaments and practices. And first off, when I ask people if they record themselves playing, they usually do not. And this is something that is very important to do. Whenever I whip out my tripod and my camera, I definitely get some strange looks, and they wonder, oh, is this for like Instagram or something? But it's not just for Instagram. It's also for my own benefit. And when I go and serve, for example, when I practice my serves, I always bring my camera because it's so critical to be able to watch yourself play, because that way it'll help you improve your game. You're going to see things that you didn't think you were doing technically. I mean, I remember in the past whipping out the camera, recording my serve, and then realizing, whoa, what is this hitch that is going on in my backswing? So that was super helpful, and I wouldn't have known that unless somebody pointed it out, which nobody had. And you can also watch yourself play in slow motion as long as you use the right settings, which we'll talk about a little later as well, which is super helpful because sometimes when you're playing back something in real time, then you won't quite see the little details as you would if you slowed it down. And as well, when you record yourself playing matches, you're not only recording yourself, but that of your opponent as well. So then you'll be able to see your opponent's tendencies, and you can take notes for next time. You can start to notice, oh, this person is actually making mistakes on one side or the other, or maybe they're having a lot of trouble with high backhand volleys, for example. And so you can figure out what strategies maybe worked for you in that match or that practice match, and what strategic mistakes perhaps you made. And so it's important, you know, you really get what you put in. So of course it takes a little bit of extra effort to set up your camera or other device to record. And yes, it takes more time to actually watch yourself, you know, watch the footage. A lot of people don't want to take the time to watch the footage, but if you do that, then it's really going to help out. And as we know in tennis, every single point counts. A lot of these matches and tournaments and USA League playoffs, they always go to the final set of the final match and the tie breaks, you know, 12-10. I mean, so even gaining 1 point edge is going to really help you out in the long run. So first off, I just want to mention that all the equipment that I mentioned today, the specific names that I mentioned, because obviously there's hundreds of devices out there and accessories, but they will be on the show notes page at tennisfiles.com/102. So that's, you can always get the episode of your dreams. I don't know why I said of your dreams, but any episode that you want to listen to from the podcast, all you got to do is just go to tennisfiles.com and then the number there. And first off, you need a device to record, of course. So you essentially have three options here. Level one, so I'm going to go in levels in terms of mainly the quality, the image quality. Level one is your smartphone. So some examples, as you probably know, It would be the iPhone, the Samsung Galaxy, the LG phones, etc. And the pros of using a smartphone are, first off, it's very easy to use. The settings, I'm sure you've fiddled with them and taking selfies and videos and things like that. And also very portable. You're going to be bringing your phone everywhere and you'll never forget it, pretty much, unless you are an airhead or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, you'll always have your phone with you. It'll be easy for you to set slow motion in particular as well, which is a very helpful feature. But there are a lot of cons, I would say, a decent amount of cons. And first off is the battery drain. So let's say you're playing tennis in the evening or something, your battery is already low, and then you start to record. I mean, recording video and taking pictures, that is actually one of the most battery draining things you can do for your phone. So it is definitely a negative in using your phone to record. You also will usually have limited memory. A lot of the phones out there are restricted to only the internal memory. I actually got an SD card for my Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus. So I have like 128 gigs in there and another 64 internally. So that's a lot. But generally, like the iPhones, for example, you can't put in an SD card. So you're going to be limited. So if you have a lot of movies on your phone, then you might have a limited space. So you'll have to offload it quite a bit. So that can get annoying. Also, phones are less durable. So we'll get into the mounting later, but unless you have a very good case, you might not want to put your phone at risk of being hit or dropped or things like that. And the cost, we'll go through the cost of each of these devices and accessories, but the additional cost would be zero, which is fantastic because you already have a phone and it really doesn't take like an amazing phone to record video. So it's not a huge deal. I mean, if you need a new phone, yes, it can be like anywhere from $100 to $1,000, depending if you want the iPhone XI 12 million or whatever you want to call it. But that is the first option. So smartphone. Second option, level two, I would say, in terms of image quality, and phones are getting better, but level two, action camera. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with action cameras, but a couple examples of these are the GoPro, which is the most widely known brand, and also the Yi and the Yi 4K, which clearly has 4K capabilities. But the pros of the action camera, as you could probably tell by the name, are quite durable in general because they're made to go to be used like when you're in doing action sports. So maybe you're biking off road or you're swimming or you're underwater, things like that. And also they are quite compact in comparison with even a smartphone, but in comparison with other devices that we'll talk about later. So it's very easy to bring along. And you can also generally, to my knowledge, insert SD cards. So SD cards, common amounts are like 32 gigs, 64 gigs, 128 gigs, 256 gigs. So it's great that you can insert an SD card into action cameras. And the cons of action cameras are they do have a more limited use versus, well, I guess I'll spoil number three, but like, for example, dedicated cameras, DSLRs and such. Because it's basically you're going to use it for either recording your tennis matches or maybe if you're like biking or doing other off-roading things. I mean, you still could use it for more general purposes, but there are a lot of other better devices to use for like family trips. I mean, even your phone, for example, is better in most cases. But yeah, those are some of the pros and cons there. And the cost for these action cameras, I've actually seen some as low as $60 and some as high as $500. So it really depends. If you just want basic HD functionality and you don't really care about audio quality, then you can get some decent ones for like $60. But if you want like the highest quality 4K for action cameras, then you're going to definitely be spending several hundreds of dollars, most likely. Although I did see the Yi 4K Plus on sale for like $150 or $200, so that's not too bad. Now, level three, which is one that I personally like, but as we'll talk about, it's not always the best choice, is a DSLR or a mirrorless camera. And also I'd lump into this category a video camera. And so some examples of these, one budget mirrorless camera is Canon M50. So that's a very nice little camera that's quite portable, actually, as a flip screen. Also, the Sony a6400, that's a camera that I just got, actually. It's a very nice small compact camera. And then an example of a DSLR is a Canon T7i. And so the main thing with these, the pros really are, you're going to get the best image quality out of these cameras because they require the use of lenses, and these lenses are really made to often for professional quality standards, and you're just going to get the best images that possible. So it's pretty simple, actually. And you can get interchangeable lenses for different focal lengths and also better quality. But as far as focal length, what I'm talking about here is, let's say you want a really wide view of the court. So then you can get something like a 10 to 18 millimeter type of lens, because then that's going to provide you with the widest field of view there. And then let's say if you want like a tighter view, which you don't want too tight of a view because you want to see yourself on the entire court, then you can get like a 30 millimeter, something like that. But again, I recommend actually like in the 10 to 18 millimeter range. But basically, you can get different lenses of varying focal lengths and quality, which is fantastic. And then you can actually also use these either DSLR or mirrorless cameras or a video camera for other things, like shooting your kids, video of your kids, or trips, or other, even, you know, if you want to freelance on the side or something like that and get some photography gigs, like, you can use these devices. I don't believe that video cameras have the ability to change lenses, so that's why a lot of people prefer DSLRs and mirrorless cameras. So like I mentioned, I'll link some of these devices and cameras and action cameras and so forth on the show notes page. So a second very important element of being able to record is, of course, you're going to need to mount or stabilize the device. So you can't just like lay these things on the ground and expect to see a fantastic field of view and have a great recording. So and you also want your devices to be safe as well. So level one is having somebody holding the device to record you. And I know that's not really a mounting or stabilizing device, but I guess it's a stabilizing person. Anyway, so examples of this are maybe your coach, a family member, even a friend, somebody who's watching. And the pro of this is that it costs nothing. But the con is that most likely whoever is doing this doesn't want to stand there for like an hour. And also, if it's a match, then you won't be allowed to have that person stand there for a long time. So, you know, it's you don't want to try and cheap out, because then it'll prevent you from doing certain things. And, you know, I think for short practices or just recording a stroke or something like that, or a couple practice points, that's fine. But otherwise, you don't really want to use this option on a standard basis. And the reason for that is because the second option is definitely pretty cheap. It can be as little as like $10. And then if you want like a ridiculously great quality or weight capacity, then you might pay like $100. But level two is what we call a GorillaPod, or perhaps a clamp mount. And again, look on the show notes page for this. But basically what it's going to be is it's going to allow you to mount your phone, action camera, or professional camera, video camera, to a fence or some equivalent. So basically, the great thing about the GorillaPod is it's a kind of like a small tripod, basically, but the legs are flexible, so you can actually loop them inside the fence. So normally, especially outdoors, the courts will have a fence type back. Well, I guess you'll be surrounded by a fence. So anyways, you can actually mount it there and it'll be pretty secure. And also another option, as I mentioned, is a clamp mount as well. So you can actually like clamp the base to the fence and then have your camera mounted to it. And so these are, you know, this is a great option and the least intrusive actually, because it's going to be basically like hanging on the fence. So it's not going to be on the court. And that's a good option. A con of this is it's potentially less stable than sitting, than having the camera on the ground or having it, I guess, stabilized via the third option that I'm going to mention now, well, in a minute. But the problem also with this option is that if you're indoors, then a lot of times you won't really be able to use, like, to be able to clamp it, the device at the back, you know, because it'll just be like some sort of tarp. So in that case, you might have to use the gorilla plod, the gorilla pod, and perhaps put it to the side or on the bench, and then put it at a good enough angle, put the device at an angle to where you can still see yourself playing, but that's not as ideal. So level three is the tripod. And so you can get a tripod, budget tripod. I think my first tripod I ever got was an Amazon Basics tripod, and that's like, it might even be less than $20, but around there. And then you have some higher levels of that, like the Manfrotto tripods. And yeah, they're you know, they range from all sorts of prices from $20 up to like many hundreds of dollars actually. But the pros here are it's quite stable. And because basically these ones are often like the height of it is, I would say, like 6 feet on average. And you can, of course, adjust them. So they're not 6 feet. You're not carrying around a 6 foot tripod everywhere. You can make it more compact and then like extend it and then it'll go up to that type of height. So it's great that you can have the camera actually stable and, you know, supported by three legs generally for these, well, that's the name, tripod, right? Try. But supported by three legs and then adjust it to your desired height. And that way you'll be able to have it very stable and with the ground. Because it's really up to your comfort level, but especially if you have an expensive camera or a video camera, then you probably want to use a tripod instead of kind of clamping it on the fence or securing it on the fence. And also, I should have mentioned, if you do use the fence option with the GorillaPod or clamp, then you probably want to use some sort of special tape to just make sure that the device will not fall. So that's another little tip there. But if it's an action camera or a smartphone, then it's less likely to fall than a professional camera. And also, the cameras usually will cost more in general than your smartphone and especially than your action cameras. But there are some cons, of course, because as I mentioned, with having a person on the court, you know, with the tripod, sometimes you're able to actually put it behind the court and then have it looking through the hole in the fence. I mean, obviously there's many holes, but you can line it up like that and then it won't, the tripod and camera won't even be on the court. The con to that is, you know, somebody could just swoop in and perhaps steal your whole rig, which would not be great. But if you are having a practice match, or if somehow the tournament or league allows you to put the tripod in the very back of the court, which to be honest is kind of unlikely, then the tripod would work. But like, for the best use of the tripod for me, in my opinion, is practice matches or practices or serving. It's fantastic. You just bring your tripod, you set it up, extend it, and then you plop your camera on there or whatever device you want, and then go for it. And with the tripod, as with the GorillaPod as well, depending on what strength and size you get for the Gorillapod. You can mount your smartphone on there. If you have the smartphone adapter, you can mount an action camera like the Eve or the GoPro. So you can mount those as well as the camera or video camera on there. So I like the tripod a lot. And then there's some other pieces of equipment too that you want to bring, especially if you're recording for a long time, and that would be extra batteries or a battery pack if you're using a smartphone. And also lens cleaner is also a good idea, or like a brush to clean it, to clean your device. But my recommendation on average for most people, it would be to get the action camera plus a clamp mount or a Gorillapod. So I think that is the best option. And why? I think that this combination is more versatile and compact than bringing a smartphone or a pro camera. And I would prefer myself to clamp a small action camera to the fence than my smartphone or a professional camera. And also, I prefer using the mounting the camera to the fence, and when I say camera, in this case, an action camera, preferably, because a tripod, you know, think about it. Say if somebody hits a really good lob, then you might have to run back, and then now what? You're going to crash into your tripod. So that is definitely a danger of using a tripod. So that's one of the main reasons why, if you can, I would prefer that you just clamp the action camera to the fence. And then also, some other things too, is it won't overheat. Like I noticed that if I record with my smartphone for a long period of time, then my phone gets really, really hot. And in a couple cases, it's actually turned off. So, I mean, that's if you're recording for a long time. So also, you get more memory with the action camera because you can put in an SD card into the action camera. And of course, you can also do that with the professional camera as well. And then also, like, one of the main reasons, honestly, for me is the durability, because I would much rather have my action camera, like, inadvertently fall on the ground or bump into it when I'm really far behind, like in the very far end of the baseline, rather than having, you know, like a $1,000 phone get bumped into and fall, or a $1,000 camera, the same thing. So that's really why I would prefer to just clamp the action camera or wrap it around the fence. And that way, it's also the least conspicuous as well. So it's not really that noticeable. And I should say, it's best practice when you are recording something to actually ask the person you're playing with, or the people you're playing with, if it's doubles, to just ask them, hey, you know, is it okay if I record our match or our practice? Because you definitely don't want somebody freaking out afterwards and saying, hey, what the heck, you know, I didn't want to be recorded, you know. So that is one other piece of advice. Also, I think with this setup, as I mentioned, you know, if I were you, I would get an action camera, and it could be like a budget one, and a clamp or a Gorillapod. But you could also just get a budget tripod as well. So for those times when maybe you're practicing indoors and you can't really clamp your device anywhere, then just put your action camera on the tripod, put it as far back as you can on the court, and then that way you'll be able to record yourself in those instances where you cannot mount your camera on the fence or the back. So, also, as I mentioned, sometimes you might need an adapter in addition to getting your mounting device, but those are pretty cheap. And some other thoughts are, you know, you want to record from the back, of course. That's great, especially if you're trying to figure out strategy. And also, I mean, technically, it's great. But you also want to try recording from the side as well sometimes. The side view is very helpful. For example, let's say if you're looking at your serve, you want to see, for example, whether you are what they call breaking the plane. So this is pretty much basically weight transferring, but sometimes people end up being too far forward, like their weight is not sufficiently on their back foot for long enough. or they transfer that weight too early. So that is something that I've talked about in regards to racket fit before as well. So definitely want to check out prior podcast episodes on that if you want to learn more about things like breaking the plane. Also, if you care about audio, some of the action cameras, as I previously mentioned, and even cameras themselves and smartphones have crappy audio, so you definitely want to do your research. But the thing with that is the main thing for recording yourself is to watch yourself playing, so I don't think audio is usually going to be super important. But also, if you want to use your device for other uses that needs audio, good audio, then that's something you want to think about. So just, again, do your research and read the reviews, watch hundreds of hours of YouTube videos like I did before I got my camera. Well, try not to watch that much, but that is something to consider. Also, you could use an iPad, but I'd recommend in that case somebody always holding the iPad behind you or on the side view, unless you want to risk smashing some expensive equipment, especially from the makers of the $999 Apple Stand. All right, I'm sure they've got enough ribbing on that. But yeah, so that's those are my thoughts on how you can record, and I hope you enjoyed the detail in this particular episode, because I know that I and other influencers and tennis experts talk about the virtues of recording, but we don't always expand upon the actual gear that you need. So just to recap, three devices you can use are your smartphone, an action camera, or a DSLR/mirrorless camera or a video camera as well. And out of those, I recommend the action camera, but if you don't have an action camera or a professional camera or video camera, just use what you have. Your smartphone is going to work just fine, and you'll always have it with you as well. Just be aware of some of the pitfalls, as I mentioned, like the battery draining and the storage and things like that. And then as far as how to mount the device and stabilize the device, you could have somebody behind you, standing near you and recording you, but that person won't want to stand there for too long. So especially if you're trying to record for a longer duration, either get a GorillaPod or a clamp mount where you can attach your device to the fence. Well, actually, you're going to attach the GorillaPod or the clamp mount to the fence and then mount your camera on it. And the third option is the tripod. And so if I were you, get the action camera plus a clamp mount or GorillaPod. If you can afford it, get a professional camera for more crispy video. But if you can't, just use your smartphone. All right. And as I mentioned, all the links to the gear will be in the description. In the show notes, actually, on tennisfiles.com/102. And also let me know if you have some sort of different method for recording yourself. I mean, these methods are what I've found through a lot of research and also my own experience. And just let me know if you like this episode. And if it was useful, I'll actually make a YouTube video about it, so you can actually see visually what's going on and some of the different video qualities that you can pump out as well. And let's see if there's any other tips I can think of. That's about it. I mean, I can go a lot into the different features of these cameras. And for example, like with the professional cameras, you can actually record it in a high frame rate, like 120 frames per second, and then slow it down in a video editor. But I think that's probably a little too advanced for most of you. But if not, just let me know. But I really do appreciate you listening to this episode. And if you liked it, I really would appreciate it very much if you would subscribe to the Tennis Files podcast on the podcast app of your choice that you use to listen to the show. And you can do that on iTunes, which I think they changed the Apple podcast, but you can do that at tennisfiles.com/iTunes. And I should probably change that now to podcasts or something. But tennisfiles.com/iTunes and hit the subscribe button there. And I also want to leave you with a quote, as I often do at the end of every show. And this one is by Robert Louis Stevenson. And Robert said, Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Really love that quote there. All right, really appreciate it as always, your support and for listening to the show and commenting and subscribing and so forth. And I'm really excited to bring you some fantastic episodes and interviews ahead. So look for that coming up every single week. All right, wishing you all the best and a fantastic tennis week and weekend. And until next time, we'll see you on the next episode of the Tennis Files Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files Podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit tennisfiles.com.